In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Today, the Church commemorates on its calendar the conversion of St. Paul. While the fact of that conversion and its scriptural implications for his life and ministry and theology are replete with homiletical possibilities, the words through which he describes his call from God to share the message of Christ, we heard them just a moment ago as recorded in Galatians chapter 1. Those words are perhaps the most instructive for those of us gathered in this very special place. Those words are, Pauline scholar Günter Bornkamm asserts, the most decisive statement about the entire life of Paul. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I may preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult anyone. It's a simple question. What difference did it make to St. Paul when he became a Christian? As a young man, he had an enviable start in life. He was a pure-blooded Hebrew of the tribe of Benjamin, nothing foreign, nothing suspect about his lineage. He'd lived abroad. He had been educated in Jerusalem under the best teachers and had matured accordingly. He was bright, honest, high-minded, and earnestly religious. Anyone might have been glad to stand in his shoes as a young man. And he might well have continued on his life course had it not been for one thing. Paul heard some strange talk about one Jesus of Nazareth. Like his fellow Pharisees, Paul counted himself wise unto salvation. But now there was this Jesus offering seemingly the love of God to everyone, lumping the pious Pharisees into the same group as everyone else, talking to all sorts of doubtful kinds of people, even godless foreigners, as if they too could claim the favor of God. That was what Paul heard about Jesus. And of course, that made Jesus a dangerous person. His teaching was just the opposite of that on which Paul had built his own life. And so we know the story of how Saul joined the anti-Christian movement and became a leader in it. But then something happened, which this church celebrates on this day, when it pleased God to reveal his Son to me. Paul came to see that Christ was not an imposter, but the Son of God. And then Paul saw everything with different eyes. Being a Christian made a difference to Paul. To be sure, when he was encountered by the crucified and risen Christ and called by God, he was the very opposite of one plagued by qualms of conscience and on the edge because of his own inadequacy. Rather, his unremitting boast was his membership in the chosen people, adherent to the law of God, and righteous. When Paul was converted, it was not the case of one finding the way to God, but one who was already zealous for God. It was a devout man whose way God blocked through the Christ who had died a shameful death on the cross. And in that sense, Paul's faith made a difference. And ours makes a difference as well. In fact, I would like to suggest three ways in which that faith of Paul made a difference in his life and should make a difference in ours. First, Paul's belief saved himself from himself. He had been intent on trying to save his own soul, cultivating his own character, winning God's favor by his own goodness. He had been concentrating on himself, but self-centeredness was the very thing from which he and we need to be delivered. Martin Luther, you will recall, deftly defined sin as incurvatus in se, the self curved in toward the self. Each one of us makes himself or herself the center of his or her existence. That's what's wrong with us, and that is what needs to be put right. What Paul came to see was that he could not save himself, and more importantly, he did not need to. God loved him already, just as he was, and had shown it in Christ. This same apostle would write to the Romans, "God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Paul, nor you, nor me, nor anyone drawn by the gospel need worry about ourselves anymore. We are free to be God-centered. That's how Christ saves us from ourselves. And that is the very meaning of salvation. Second way in which Paul's faith made a difference is that when he became a Christian, God gave Paul something to do in the world. "But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles." What begins by being a revelation of Christ to Paul becomes a revelation of Christ in Paul as he proclaims the unsearchable riches of God. And similarly, in calling us to faith, God calls us to do something, and usually something considerably costly and difficult. Paul was certain that God had chosen him and in due time revealed Christ to him that he might preach him among the nations. And we need no reminder on this day of what it cost the apostle in terms of persecutions and hardships. He was a hunted, homeless man for the rest of his life, but it was worth it, because God had brought him from darkness into light, had saved him from himself, and had given him something to do. That's always part of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. The charge for which most of you prepare on this campus is purely and simply proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ as the power of salvation for all humankind. In sending Christ into the world, God made an end of salvation on the basis of the law and inaugurated salvation on the basis of righteousness through faith It was the message of the cross that compelled Paul to preach the gospel, as it still does us. God gave Paul something to do. He gives us the very same mission. And finally, in coming to faith, Paul discovered the unity of all humankind in Christ. The apostle is clear that after his conversion, he had to preach the gospel among the Gentiles, literally among the peoples. All of his proud Jewish exclusiveness had been broken down. All of his ancestral advantages had to be thrown overboard, because Christ is for everyone. All differences are ultimately insignificant. In Christ there is, he knew and wrote so well, neither Jew nor Greek, barbarian nor Scythian, slave nor free. That was a tremendous innovation in the apostles' thinking, and it came with his faith. Helmut Thielicke tells of kneeling in the prairie sands of Southwest Africa with some Herero tribesmen. Thielicke writes, "They had never heard of my country, and I knew nothing of their remote bush environment. Neither of us understood a single word of the other's language. But when I made the sign of the cross with my hand and spoke the word Jesus, their dark faces lit up, and they could do not enough to show me their love. Here we were, separated by social, geographical, and cultural barriers, and yet we were enclosed by arms that were not of this world." Despite what we may hear from a prominent religious leader in this city over the next 2 days, the primary task of the church in the world is not to be a power structure, not to be a political lobby, not to be a social agency. Our primary task is to preach the word about Jesus, about the Lord of creation, who in the fullness of time arrived with the power of his love and grace in that particular man, Jesus Christ. Evangelism and mission is nothing more than the church turning toward the world. In other words, turning in the very same direction which in the fullness of time God turned in his Son. That word which brings new life, that word which centers in the incarnation and resurrection of Christ, is not only near us, he is with us and in us. All are one in Christ. Saved from ourselves, called to proclaim Christ as the true light of the world, so that all may come to know his saving name. That is the difference Paul's faith made to him. On this commemoration of his conversion, it remains the same difference that our faith makes for us. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the nations. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.